What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Pool days call for cookouts and lots of laundry. This Memorial Day at Lowe's, save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Gas Grill. Now just $199. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep dishes, clothes, and food fresh. Having fun in the sun is easy with us in your corner. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See associate or Lowe's.com for details.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
I'm Tony Bruschi. Welcome. We hope you've enjoyed our coverage on the trial of Alec Murdaugh. This is a look back at some of the key moments and conversations that we've had over the last several weeks regarding the case. Hey, hope everyone is enjoying their weekend. We've had so many interesting conversations and insights into the cases we're following for you this week. Wanted to play back some of the ones I found most compelling in the last 7 days. Here's one of them in our week in review.
This is a podcast that seeks justice. Justice for the lives stolen by those in society that hide amongst us every day. Hidden in our towns, cities, and countrysides, the places that we work, and sometimes in our very own homes. This is Hidden Killers.
Welcome to the podcast. My name is Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our discussions, breaking updates on the cases that we are following. You can get a commercial-free experience through Apple Podcasts if you subscribe there to our premium channel. You can even try it for 3 days free. Today, we're talking with evidence specialist Scott Roeder. We're going to be talking more about the Alec Murdaugh case as more and more continues to come out in court as we are now in week number three. Alec Murdaugh's defense lawyer cross-examined a ballistics expert, Paul Greer, recently on cross-examination. Greer testified that older shell casings found on the Murdaugh's property near Maggie Murdaugh's body was found and had cycled through the same weapon. But Griffin challenged what he had called the subjective techniques used in firearm examinations, saying, isn't it true your field of expertise has come under criticism by the scientific community? And the response, there has been criticism, but again, there's been research completed to support firearm identifications, Greer replied. Scott, with that being said, when an expert is cross-examined and has to admit a certain level of criticism, does it matter to the jury, to the general public? How does that play out typically?
I've been asked similar, questions like that on the stand. I think it's fine to admit certain areas of expertise in forensic science or subspecialties of forensic science, like this is ballistics or firearms examination, has some level of criticism. I don't think it affects the credibility. It's about the reasonable standard of probability. In my opinion, it comes down to kind of a percentage base, you know. And when it comes to firearms examination, especially tool mark identification, whether the same shell casing cycled through a gun or not, that's pretty certain. Is there a margin of error? Absolutely. But the margin of error lies mostly with the operator, not the science. So if you're confident in your field and you've done your work properly and you've, you know, analyzed it in a fair way, you know, I think the probability is very high that the results are accurate. Now, if you're not a careful operator of your application, operators can make errors. And if you make an error, you have to admit it. And I've made, I'll be honest, I've made errors before and have had admit to those errors on the stand in front of the jury. And I think, but for me, I'm not a good liar, okay? That's because I have a bad memory. So what you do is you just admit your mistake and you let the jury sort it out. You know, hopefully it's not a fatal mistake, but I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that you made a mistake. If in fact you made a mistake, I think it just adds to your own credibility that you're willing to say, hey, I'm not flawless, and I dare someone to approach me in any area of expertise who is flawless.
What kind of mistakes can be made?
Well, I think, you know, for example, there was a case I worked on about 15 years ago where I testified in court in South Carolina, where when I had built the 3D model, I had made the room blue instead of white walls. I mean, the walls blue on this one side and they should have been white. And the prosecutor made the argument, well, if you can't even get the color of the walls right, how can we know that you got anything right? You know, so you have to just admit, listen, it's a negligible mistake. Yeah, the room on the wall is white. In my animation, I made it blue. It's a negligible mistake. It doesn't affect the outcome of the reconstruction. You just have to explain it that way. But that was a mistake that I made. I should have, you know, colored the room the way it was in the photographs. And I made a mistake and I had the wrong color on the wall. He tried to make a mountain out of a molehill. Ultimately, I think I was able to explain the way that the color of the wall doesn't affect the bullet trajectory that I was testifying to.
Sure. And of course, the defense will try and poke at anything to put some doubt into the mind of the jury. When we're talking about the shell casings or DNA tied to the scene or tied to a weapon, does that give enough proof to a jury to convict in most cases? Or does the talk of subjective techniques lessen the credibility of an expert to the point that the jury would be given a reasonable doubt?
Well, I'm a generalist in that I, my title is evidence specialist, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have a subspecialty in there of shooting and crime scene reconstruction. And that includes a number of expertise, right? It includes me to be able to understand distance determination, firearms examination, ballistics, muzzle to target distance, bullet trajectory, shell casing location, that type of thing. And as a generalist, it's about the totality of the information and the interrelationship of that, of the evidence to each other, that paints a bigger picture. So will a shell casing convict somebody? Absolutely not. But a shell casing that's consistent, that has DNA, that's fired from a gun, that was found in the possession, that was registered to, and there's other accumulative information, you know, you can try to you know, knock off each individual straw off of the camel's back. That's really the up to the jury to decide, is one piece of information going to spoil the whole stew, or do you still have enough evidence to feel confident to move forward with a conviction. And I think on something like this, I don't think the cross-examination was significant enough to really spoil the expertise in any way. But you know, that's what lawyers do. That's what a lawyer's job is. Their job is to either build up or tear down the credibility of the witness without pride or passion. And they're advocates. They're not advocates for the truth. Lawyers are advocates for their client. And in one case, a prosecutor is a lawyer advocating for the state. And then the lawyer for the criminal or the accused is advocating for that individual person. So you can't depend on lawyers to be arbiters of truth. That's what witnesses are there for. And the jury is there to determine, not because what lawyers say doesn't matter in court. Lawyers don't, their testimony is not under oath. Lawyers lie all the time. So as a jury member, you can't listen to the lawyers. You have to listen to the witness. And that's how I look at it as a witness. When I testify on the stand, I'm there to present truth based on my understanding. And my nemesis is the lawyer who is trying to advocate for their client. And I say this to them. I love lawyers. But listen, lawyers are not under oath, right? They don't take the, they don't put their hand up and they don't swear on the Bible, tell the truth under penalty of perjury. They are not held to that standard. Only the witness is held to a truthful standard. And that's what people watching this stuff have to remember. It's only the person on the stand that has to tell the truth. That's it.
There was additional cross-examination, including comments from ballistic experts, including him stating the process of making that identification is subjective in nature, but it's based on some objective date. The examiners look at contours, ridges, peaks under high magnification to see whether two projectiles came from the same weapon. Murdaugh's attorney then asked, do you agree your chosen field is part of art as much as science? Our field is an applied science, the weapons expert responded. Good example there of attorneys speaking, maternity speak. Can you speak to the term applied science and how it confirms and gives a sense of confirmation and credibility when a defense attorney is attempting to go after the expert's credibility in their techniques that are used?
Well, I love this question because I've been asked this very specific question. Matter of fact, I think when lawyers go to lawyer school, they get taught this question. Would you agree that your chosen field is part art as it is much science? I get asked that question all the time. And I think the answer is yes. It is, there is an art to science, right? Just like there is an art to medicine. You can read medicine in a book, but the ability of a doctor to apply medical knowledge to a patient, that is an art form. That's how I explain it. You can read all about bullet trajectory. You can take the measurement, but to put it all together is an art. And that art is the applied science itself. And all applied science means is that it's not theoretical, okay? So there's certain science like astrophysics. That's theoretical science because there's no physical experimentation you can do on planet Earth to prove gravity. You can just theorize what gravity is and you can theorize our place in the universe. You can't put together a physical experiment, right? Applied science is, for example, bullet trajectory analysis, where I apply my science to physical items and put together an experiment and then share the result of that experiment to the jury. That's applied science. So I think, you know, you get into the word jumbling of lawyering and they try to take art and diminish it by confusing it with science. when really it's all the same thing. There is an art to applying your science. But, you know, like Bruce Lee says, what is Kung Fu? Kung Fu is practice. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. How do you become a good crime scene reconstructionist? Practice. You know, how do you understand the markings of a shell casing coming through the same gun? Practice. And that's the art of practice that makes your ability to be a good applied scientific expert.
Very well put. Murdaugh's defense attorney brought up the crime scene, including footprints, cross-examining the crime scene expert, or when he was doing that. The expert testified that one of the footprints in blood near where Murdaugh's son was shot came from a deputy, and then said, is that the preservation of the scene that your standards require? The defense attorney asked, and no, not exactly, was what the expert responded. Is there a time in your career or in a case that you know of that an expert admitted to a certain mistake or misstep by law enforcement that tainted a crime scene and it still convicted the suspect?
Well, I'm not sure how much of a mistake that is. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain physical limitations that you have when you're a first responder or a crime scene expert going to a scene, because scenes are very ephemeral. They can degrade in a very short period of time due to the elements. It could rain. You could disturb evidence by providing first aid to a victim. Because, you know, usually when you discover a victim on the scene, before a crime scene expert goes in or anything like that, medical personnel are coming in to see if there's any life left to save, right? And we saw that in the Idaho case too, although I think it was apparent that they were already passed away by the time first responders got there. So there is going to be always some disturbance of the scene by investigators. I guess the question is it negligible disturbance, or is the disturbance such that it affects the analysis of what happened? I guess another way to put it would be, and I think it's okay to make a mistake at a crime scene, like I said before, because nobody's perfect, because you don't know what you're walking into, especially if you're a first responder. But if you lie about it, especially as a law enforcement representative, if you're a CSR tech with the local BCI or so on and so forth, and you come in and you make a mistake, and then you try to cover that mistake up, that is a critical, fatal flaw to that particular piece of evidence that you're testifying to. We saw that firsthand. I don't know how your audience is probably a lot younger than me, but I remember in the O.J. Simpson case, my former professor, Dr. Henry Lee, testified about the bloody glove that was found at O.J. Simpson's house that ultimately was mishandled, lied about, and then all that evidence was thrown out of court. And I think one of the key reasons why O.J. Simpson was found not guilty. So if you make a mistake as a law enforcement professional, I'm telling you right now, you must admit it, be humble, and move on. But if you try to cover up a mistake and you get busted for covering up a mistake, that is unforgivable. And that's unforgivable as an expert looking at another expert. You just don't lie about mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. We're all human beings. You work on I've worked on thousands of cases in my life. If I came here on your show, Tony, and told you I never made a mistake, I would have zero credibility.
Obviously, I mean, the OJ one is what came to my mind right away, because, you know, we lived through that time and that whole controversy. How common is it, though, that mistakes are made and they are covered up? Or would you say it's a higher percentage where mistakes are made and the law enforcement comes out right away and says, look, here, we did this. This was our mistake, just so it's out in the open and everyone is aware.
Yeah, unfortunately, when mistakes are made, and listen, I'm not pro any side or the other. I try to be an umpire and call balls and strikes straight down the middle. But in my career, which has spanned over 23 years now, law enforcement has a fatal flaw in their character that they don't like to admit mistakes. And that hurts their credibility, and they end up fighting over it. So everybody makes mistakes, but the flaw is in the cover-up. Like everything, the cover-up is always worse than the crime. The cover-up of making a mistake is worse than making a mistake. And, you know, so that's how I see it. A lot of times law enforcement, if they do make a mistake, they're afraid to admit it. And I don't know where that mentality comes from, but that mentality exists. They have a hard time admitting mistakes. And I think if they do admit mistakes, regardless of what it is, I think the general public, the greater public, and particularly your jury, I think will appreciate honesty more than they appreciate perfection.
Scott Roeder, evidence specialist, thank you so much for being on the program and giving us your insights. Always very fascinating. If you like the program, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our discussions, breaking updates on cases, and full coverage. You can do that commercial free through Apple Podcasts if you subscribe there to our premium channel. Until next time, for all of us here, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.